Fáilte. My name is Andrew Healy, and I'm a lover and drinker of Irish whiskey. I'm on a journey of discovery to learn as much as I can about the great spirit of the Emerald Isle. Along that journey, I'm lucky enough to meet other people who are passionate about Irish whiskey, and the My Favourite Irish podcast is their story and their favourite Irish whiskey. Whether that's their current favourite, their first ever dram, or one that has a special place in their life. On today's episode, I got to spend some time recently with Pat Burke. Pat is Oakland born and raised, of Irish ancestry, and he traces his lineage back to Cork and Limerick. We talked about Pat, his reputation as a world-class barbecuer, his visits to Ireland over the years, and of course, his favourite Irish whiskey, which is a very, very special bottle of Paddy Irish whiskey that Pat bought on a trip to Ireland back in 1984. Yes, 1984. Listen along. Fáilte Arash, you are all very welcome back to the bar here for a bit of a special gathering. Pat Burke got you at the bar and you brought an absolutely magical bottle of whiskey.
Yes, this is Paddy's old Irish whiskey that I purchased in Ireland in 1984 and brought it home. And I still have it. There's what's left of it.
Which is probably the most impressive part of it all, is that it's still here.
It's still there.
So you and I have chattered about getting you to the bar and sipping on a bit of whiskey, and you said you wanted to bring your favourite. So a special treat for me to have it. We've obviously got the modern iteration of it next door, so probably not fair to do a side-by-side tasting, but we'll taste a little bit of both of them. You told me that you bought more than one bottle.
I did. Back in 1984, they let me back into the country with it too, because I didn't realize I didn't. And the guy says, "Oh, don't worry about it."
I'm not sure what your duty-free allowance was back then.
They were more concerned about me being on a farm, and they wanted to see my shoes than they were about the whiskey.
Okay, that makes sense. So the Paddy brand is one that I remember when I grew up. There was obviously I grew up in the dark days of Irish whiskey. There wasn't many brands. There was only a couple of distilleries, and Paddy is one of those that stood out. And one of the reasons being, it's got a map of the country on the front label. And you know, yours shows the four provinces in their respective colours. You know, the modern iteration is a you know, has moved on from there. But so it's going to do some quick maths here. So it's 38 years old.
Yeah, 38 years old.
How has it managed to last this long?
Well, I don't drink a lot of it, but I had it buried away in a dark little cupboard, you know.
Okay.
And it wasn't exposed to sunlight, and it's been. I've taken it on my barbecue competitions, actually.
Okay.
And that probably attributed to most of the drainage on it, but. It's special, and I don't, you know, I'm going to take it down to the last drop, but I don't know when that'll be.
Okay, and obviously we won't taste a huge amount of it here because it's for special occasions.
We can enjoy much as...
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah. So, obviously an Irish name, Pat Burke, Patrick Burke.
Right.
Where's the ancestry?
Well, my ancestry was born, they were from Cork and Limerick.
Okay.
They were, I guess that would be my... great-great-grandfather, I think, and grandmother. And my first wife, Judy, she was a direct descendant with her grandparents that came from Northern Ireland directly to the United States and came in and developed their home in Philadelphia, just outside Philadelphia. So my Irish ancestry, I have a passport, I'm a citizen, was through her. Through her direct descendant.
And obviously, Cork and Limerick, you know, good Munster stock.
Yeah.
That part of the world. Have you been back and traced?
I have been back to both Cork and Limerick, but I have not. I sit on a bench and just
enjoy the view.
Enjoy the view.
And there's many great views in that part of the world. So this is from 1984.
Right.
I know you've been back since. The last time you were in Ireland was...
2013.
So, and you showed me some photos, obviously. You, with Judy, you trace some of her ancestry and lineage. You told me some great stories about happening upon some great people who took you down laneways.
Out on country roads and through records through the county and on the computer, this gentleman took us and says, "I know where your grandparents were born," and took us to an old stone house that had fallen apart.
There's always one of them in every village in Ireland who knows all the scandal and gossip for generations.
Yeah. This gentleman did. We were directed there by the postmaster in town.
Okay. So 2013 was the last trip. Any plans to go now that we're
back? I wanted to go back last year, but we just did most of it in France and Italy.
Because that's right. You're in one of the reasons I know you is that you're now remarried to a lady that I've known for years, who has. I go by AH when I sign, but Catherine goes by KZ or KZ. Yeah, which I think is
Catherine Zimmer.
It's almost the start of a radio call sign, isn't
right.
it? So I've known Catherine for years, somebody a lot of respect for. We both work in and around the marketing sphere. Mm-hmm. And you were the last people, you and Catherine were the last people to come to the house before the pandemic.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, that was that.
I remember that.
Yes, it was the Saturday night before St. Patrick's in 2020. Yeah. We had dinner.
And I remember, first time I met you.
Yeah, and I remember Catherine, as we were leaving, going, "Well, should we hug? Should we not hug?" And literally, that was the last person beyond, my good lady
Pretty
wife.
Pretty crazy time.
Yeah.
So I think there was a little bit of that.
Consumed
it,
over
it
there.
Probably was here during that time, and now it's
goodness,
here.
You've done well not getting
several
through
years.
Over that. So, ancestry coming from Cork and Limerick, but you're a California boy.
Born and raised in Oakland.
Okay.
Yeah.
And in the East Bay, and educated by the priest there, or
I went to Catholic school in Oakland for my elementary years, and then went to public schools after that. So.
Okay.
Did some law enforcement in the town, and then moved to Napa in 1994.
Okay, so you've been here a fair while then.
Yeah. Yeah. And have been here, same house, and out in Bronze Valley, and great environment and a lovely area.
And I know you as someone who likes to dabble in the culinary arts.
I do. I'm retired, but semi-retired. I just was hired by Napa Valley College to be accredited instructor, an adjunct.
Great.
Professor, instructor.
Professor Burke.
I'm going to be teaching my first... credited course in culinary.
Great.
In January. It'll be Tuesdays and Thursdays from 10 to 2.
Okay. Okay. Well,
taking attendance and doing all that stuff. But
we'll talk about more food stuff as we go on, but obviously great for you then to share your experience with the next generation.
And I've done some stuff through there up in St. Helena at their Upper Valley campus and their kitchen there.
Yeah.
The Bell Rose kitchen and teach one-day classes for food and wine enthusiast program that they have. And I was in competitive barbecue since 2001. I don't do it any longer. But
That's an art and craft all of its own here in America, isn't it?
And I traveled all over the United States, through the South, Virginia, Mississippi, Alabama, Memphis, Tennessee, done the world championships in Memphis three times.
Really?
Yeah, the best we ever finished was fifth place in the world in cooking a whole hog. Yeah.
Wow, that's impressive.
Yeah, and a lot of fun.
I've learned in my time here that barbecue is different regionally through the states.
Yep.
And in those various regions, or even within states, they are fierce proud of what they do
and their recipes.
And a lot of it is handed down. Is there a California style?
Sure there is. Yeah, it's probably a mixed mash of everything else.
Just like so many things here in California. So we're going to continue chatting about a few things, but I'm going to be very... if you don't mind, I'm going to pour a teeny tiny drop of this. I know it's precious stuff. So I taste with two glasses, Pat. So I'm going to pour a tiny bit in there. And I use the two glasses so that we can find out more about the nose. So from one into the other. So that's how I do it. And then, without the alcohol. God, that's gorgeous.
It is. It's very unique, I think, you know.
You're so used to this, obviously, the smell and the taste of this, because it's your favorite mm-hmm. Irish. It's your go-to. But I find it to be first impressions. Before we jumped into the recording, I nosed the top of the bottle and I found a lot of spice coming out of it. Now that I've actually poured it into the glass.
So, you know, being in the wine business like I was for a number of years, I always found too that the empty glass actually is a way of really getting the esters and all
yeah.
of the
yeah. And I've discovered that more so with whiskey, because it takes the alcohol out of the equation. Mm-hmm. And obviously there's more alcohol mm-hmm. in whiskey than mm-hmm. wine. So you mentioned time in the wine biz. You're here in Napa since 94, and
yeah,
you've had some fun around wine.
Yeah, I worked in Rutherford at Beaulieu for a number okay. of years.
One of the historic wineries
yeah,
of the valley.
One of the first five.
Yeah.
And some fabulous wines. The Georgia Latour was one of my favorites, always has been. And then went up to Calistoga and actually started as the operations manager for a little partnership of people that started a winery up there. And unfortunately, their project didn't last.
Okay. So. Happens more often
yeah,
than
yeah,
people would
yeah.
think around here.
They had great ideas, and but it just didn't pan out. So
okay.
It is now another winery. Somebody
else
bought it.
Of course, and, yeah. As is the
we
way.
Did all the work. We did all the.
We should say sláinte, because I'm going to have a teeny sip.
We did all the work and built the project, and then.
Wow, what a treat. What an absolute treat.
Very smooth. You can feel the heat.
Yeah. And there's spice on the tongue.
Yep.
We talked about this beforehand. I don't know what this is a blended whiskey. You know, the modern version which we'll taste in a few minutes sells for less than $20 a bottle. I really like it. I think it's a good to very good whiskey at that price. Again, pretty soft and smooth. I'm finding this to be spicier, and I'm guessing, and I'm happy to be corrected if I'm wrong, that there's some pot still whiskey in here, a decent chunk of pot still, which gives that spiced character from the distillation process.
Well, we had talked earlier too. You said 43%.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yes, so 43, and the modern version weighs in at 40.
Yeah.
So you know, a lot of the commercial whiskies come in at 40. I think with that little bit of extra alcohol, it just gives the flavors a little lift. But on the palate, that is just sublime. There's almost a bready character to it. It's just
very, yeah.
Yeah, it's not
like needy.
Yeah, it's a real treat, a real treat. So, going back to barbecuing, you have a great Instagram handle.
Napa Valley Barbecue King, NV Barbecue King. I can't remember how I got it. I think it was a coworker of mine that said, "Oh, you need me on Instagram." I said, "What's that?" And he goes, "Oh, I'll take care of it for you." And next thing you know, he says, "Here, this is who you are."
So he crowned you the barbecue king of the Napa Valley.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, Jay Bruner.
Okay. Yeah, I know Jay.
Yeah.
Yeah, great guy. So, this is fantastic. Fantastic. So you've obviously lived in, people know I've lived here since 2008. You're here much longer than that. So you've seen things change, mm-hmm. grow and evolve and, you know, most of it for the good, some of it not so good. So obviously a love of whiskey. Where's your go-to places for, let's say, a great cocktail here?
Well, I think Arboretum,
isn't
Arboretum,
it?
Arboretum. That's what I thought it was, but it was, yeah.
And the bar is actually, I think, capital letters, because
right.
it's a bar, yeah. Yeah.
And it's on First Street there across from the, was it Archer Hotel, I think?
Yeah.
And,
yeah, so it's part of what the distillery is doing here in town.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give you, I'm just going to go 1, 2, 3 drops of distilled water there just to.
I think one of the best old fashions are my favorite.
Okay.
I love old fashions.
Okay.
I think one of the best old fashions I've had, was at the kitchen door.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, at the bar.
At the bar. And obviously, they've just moved location here in town. They were at the Oxbow Market, and they're now in First Street, Napa.
Yeah.
And
great spot.
You know this, but folks won't know. Actually, our next door neighbors own the restaurant, Todd and Amelia, and great people. Yeah. Great people. I know one of the folks who works at their bar, so it's lovely to hear you say that you really enjoy their cocktails there. So, do you ever put together your passion for Irish whiskey and meat? Because obviously, most barbecue is meat. And would you have a pairing for?
Well, I would say that I think a steak would be awesome.
Okay.
But maybe after the steak, or after the steak, I'd have that, or before. Of course, I'm partial to wine.
Aren't we both?
Yeah.
Aren't we all already? Yeah.
Yeah. But nice steak with some maybe scalloped potatoes and rich, heavy meal.
Yeah, I've always, my thing has been that if you're going to pair whiskey with something, there has to be fat in there.
Fat.
I haven't done any work on trying to pair things, but it to me, it's like the warmth and richness and spice character, and obviously the alcohol helps to cut through that. Really nice. Interesting with the few drops of water.
Picked up a little bit of chocolate.
I was going to say going to say fudge.
Yeah, yeah. I picked up a little bit of.
Yeah. Oh, it's intriguing. It really is, Pat, to taste something like this. So, so we talked cocktails. We've talked pairings. Obviously, Kitchen Door. You reckon they do your favorite cocktail? An Arboretum anywhere else in town?
Cole's Chop House.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's where you get
great bar
cocktails and the steak.
Right.
Okay. Yeah, they've been around. Yeah. They've been around forever. So, excellent. Right. Let's pour a little bit of the modern iteration. So, for folks who don't know the story of why Paddy is called Paddy, it originally had a really long name. It was basically the Cork Distilleries Company blended Irish whiskey. And a guy called Paddy Flaherty was their salesman. And apparently Paddy did a great job of selling all around Cork. And one of his sales techniques was to buy everyone around when he would go out selling. So, you're bound to sell more whiskey when you're buying it at the other end. It got to the stage, apparently, that when people would order in, they'd call in their order, I'm assuming on a telephone, back in the day. And because it had a really long name, people just started calling it Paddy's. Or Paddy's Whiskey. So apparently, and I a little bit of contradiction online when I was researching it, but 1912, apparently, is when they actually changed the name to Paddy's Irish Whiskey. And as I said earlier, it was one of the few brands that...
There is definitely a difference.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, this is, this is obviously a commercial whiskey by today's standards.
This, I'm picking up notes of like honey and a sweetness.
Yeah.
Then I can't put my...
Yeah. To me, there's a Jolly Apple Jolly Rancher.
Yes. Yeah.
So... Again, when I was reading about the modern iteration, a couple of different views on people. We don't know the blend. We don't know what's in it. As I said, I suspect there's a chunk of pot still whiskey in what you bought.
There's a huge difference.
This is much more commercial. They say that there's one piece I read said that there was more single malt or malted whiskey in there. But then another one said there's a chunk of grain whiskey, and grain whiskey generally is made from corn. So... and that would, to me, lead us to this kind of sweetness.
Yes, right.
And obviously, to Sazerac's credit, because Sazerac now own the brand, they bought it in 2016 from Irish distillers, they're actually bringing it in bulk here to America and bottling it. Mm. So, a step in the right direction in terms of they're not shipping heavy glass bottles.
Right.
But, yeah, God, it's a different, completely different whiskey.
Completely different. This has... To me, more of a peaty as well.
When you say earthy?
Yeah, earthy.
Because you've told me in conversations that you're not a fan of...
I'm not a fan of Scotch whiskey.
And peated, the peated style.
Yeah.
But, yeah. I I tasted this, as people can see, you know, the bottle is not full. I'm going to be, hopefully, before we're done with the year, do a video of Irish whiskeys under $20, and that this one fits in here. And I, for a drinking whiskey?
You could drink that all day long.
Yeah.
I don't think you'd be able to. But
I'm not sure when you'd be starting or finishing.
It's extremely, it's smooth. It's smooth. Very smooth.
Very smooth, soft, very attractive, yeah.
For a whiskey.
Yeah, I agree with you. Doesn't have any of the complexity or character that this older bottle has.
Pretty straightforward.
Yeah, I'm going to drop a few in there and see what that does. Now, fascinating to try them, Pat. So, obviously, I shared the story earlier. We saw you. You were the last people that we saw before the pandemic. Obviously, a positive and negative time for us all, and you know, silver linings. You know, my silver lining is my journey into whiskey from it. But you did something wonderful through that time. I know you're an avid swimmer. You swim a lot every day.
Every day.
But you did a swim challenge.
American Cancer Society. I saw it on Facebook, and they swim a mile. And your goal was 16 miles. And I did it just in a little over 14 days and then continued on swimming. So I think I totaled, 26 or 27 miles.
Good for you.
In the month of July.
Yeah. And so when you're doing your normal morning swim, what sort of distance would you be swimming?
I do 2,000 yards. So that's 80 laps.
Wow.
One, two. So 80 lengths.
Wow.
And I can do it. My best time my best time was a little over 36 minutes nonstop.
Good for you. I did it today
in 38.
Because as we know, none of us are getting any younger, Pat.
No.
But good on you for getting out and doing that.
Yeah.
Almost every day or every day?
I take the weekends off.
When you...
Saturday and Sunday.
Okay. That's allowed.
You'll see me at the pool. I'm at a different pool now, so it's usually 10 o'clock in the morning.
Okay.
And I'm done in, you know, less than 40 minutes.
And I know that you have a, because I've seen photos that you've shared, there's a group of you from your swim who socialize together now.
Yeah.
Now that we've come out the other side almost.
Yeah. It's friends, one of them, we had dinner this weekend and we watched the Georgia-Mississippi State football game because we have a mutual friend whose son is starting tight end.
Okay, brilliant.
For Georgia.
And he came from Napa, didn't he?
Yeah, he lives right near me.
Okay.
About two blocks away.
Okay, great.
Great kid, Brock Bowers.
Okay. And
good football name, huh?
And destined for greater things, is he?
Mm. Yes, he's...
He's good.
Yeah.
Okay, good. Obviously, you know, you've Irish ancestry. I'm born there. My son kicked for Napa High. But I still struggle with the game. I'm not something I'm raised with. I appreciate the arts that exist within the game and some of the dark arts that exist within the game. But I struggle to watch it.
That was one of the things that I did too in the culinary world is that I worked actually and was a chef for the Oakland Raiders when they were here in Napa for their training camp.
That's right.
I did their last season here did their lunches and dinners, cooked the order for them.
Yeah, because folks won't know, but the Raiders used to come to Napa for their preseason.
Their training camp.
Yeah, every year.
Training camps. They did 6 weeks here.
Yeah, they had.
So for 6 weeks, I was working 7 days a week, and it was a tough one.
And you're a Raiders fan?
I was Oakland.
Okay.
You know, born and raised there.
That's
now
why.
They're,
that's why.
Now they're in Vegas.
Well, that's why I say Raiders because I remember them back in the 80s when they were down south.
Yeah.
Because
back when went to LA.
Yeah, back in the 80s, American football was shown on Channel 4, an English channel. So I'm actually a Dolphins fan from those days for two reasons. One, they actually did okay back then. A man called Marino could actually throw the ball.
He could.
And their colors were green, white, and orange.
Yeah, there you go.
So I put one and one together, and they were, that's, so I've, yeah, they haven't done too well recently, but nor have the Raiders, unfortunately.
Yeah.
They've. Well, and any plans to go down to Las Vegas and watch
I'd like to go see a game, but I understand the stadium's amazing, but yeah, I don't know. I met a lot of nice guys. I mean, there's some decent people that play that game.
Yeah.
And they're very appreciative of everything that I did for them. And if I can, Derek Carr, their quarterback, would come out every morning and would come to where I was cooking lunch and would come back behind into my little cooking area and give me a hug every morning and say, I appreciate everything you're doing.
That's lovely.
As if it wasn't you, you know, we wouldn't be here. You're feeding me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Lovely.
I'll take a double cheeseburger.
Well, it's great that, you know, there's actually people behind this.
Yeah.
Regardless of the sport, whether it's football or baseball or soccer, you know, they're real humans.
Yep.
And it's nice to actually meet them on that level,
yep.
which you got to do. So, yep.
That was pretty cool. That was the good part of it. The other part was just the long hours. It was tough. It really was.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not young anymore, so.
Well, we won't let your secret out.
Yeah.
Keep swimming and it'll keep you young. Mm-hmm. Pat, we're going to continue chatting, but we're going to stop recording. So,
thank you.
Yeah, to your
for
health.
For inviting me. I appreciate
well,
it.
Well, I'm greatly appreciative that you brought this incredible gem out to share with me. I do appreciate it. I'm sure people will comment below on how envious they are that we got to share this together. And I look forward to, over the winter and into next year, cracking a few more bottles.
I think you have a few to do.
Yeah.
There's some that haven't been opened yet.
Yeah, you're giving away my secrets now. Yeah, I'm slowly getting there. My kind of, obviously, you know, we talked about tasting wine. What I do first is I'll open a bottle and I'll pour it and drink it straight, no ice or water. Yeah. Then I'll do one with some ice. And then I'll actually do a proper tasting note like we would do in Wine Sense. I'll lay it down in the kitchen on the white surface and I'll do a tasting note. And that just allows me to experience it in different ways. So when just, we've got some fun ones in there.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Slane.
Slane, yeah. Owned by one of the big boys. So Brown-Forman are the owners of Slane. But that's one of the reasons why Irish whiskey is doing so well, is the big boys have gotten involved. You know, obviously Sazerac now own Paddy or Paddy's. So yeah. We thank you for your time.
Thank you.
And we will. All right. Cheers. What a treat! What an absolute treat! Thank you very much.
Yeah. Oh, you're welcome.
Oh, that's magical, truly magical. Thanks for taking the time to listen to this episode. You'll find more episodes wherever you get your podcasts, and you'll find the My Favourite Irish video series at irishwhiskeylad.com. That's Irish whiskey with an E, LAD.com. If you've enjoyed this episode, I'd appreciate it if you could take a couple of minutes to leave a review or a rating at your favourite podcast platform. Until next time, sláinte wá.